This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
Former Vol linebacker Cortez McDowell is already on the path. His career after playing football at the University of Tennessee, and that is coaching. Coach McCamby, who is the head coach there at Clinton High School. He was at Grace before leaving to go to Clinton. But Coach McCamby, via his Twitter account, announced that Cortez McDowell joined the coaching staff there at Clinton High School. So
good for him. Good for the Clinton area.
It's great.
Clinton Dragon football welcomes Cortez McDowell to an already great coaching staff. What a first-class man with a super high football IQ. Hashtag Dragon Pride. And, you know, what's really cool about this is you got Herman Lathers, who's currently at Grace. He's a defense coordinator for Rusty Bradley there. Rusty was at CAK. Then he went West Tennessee, Jackson. It was actually Trey Smith's head coach out there. And then he came back to East Tennessee. But what's really cool, and I was having this conversation with somebody a couple days ago. I'm not really sure who it was. But there's so many players that live here in Knoxville. They stay here. So many guys. And I was at, you know, NFLPA meeting last night. We have it every once in a while there, Dead End Barbecue. And all the players that played in the league, you know, in the area, you had this meeting. And you're meeting. So I was just kind of thinking about all the players that live here. First, but all the players that lived here that at least had a couple years in the NFL. A lot of guys. And so when you're selling Tennessee, when you're selling Knoxville in this community, I saw a tweet, I think it was yesterday or the day before, where it ranked the best college towns in the country. Did y'all see that?
I think I missed that one.
Some West Coast looking Twitter handle that clearly don't know about Knoxville. It was weird. It was just some Twitter account.
This was only college sports.
Yeah, it was college towns. It was ranking the best college towns in the country. And I don't think it was an article that was, you know, constructed from the tweet or anything. I just saw just a tweet, and it had a ranking of the best college towns. And Auburn was on there, but not Knoxville. It's like, what? Say what?
I mean, every single year, it's not necessarily college sports specific, but speaking of a college town, every year for the World Series, the Super Bowl, I mean, the Stanley Cup, the four majors in the PGA, Knoxville's in the top 10 to 15 of cities all across the country.
I got it right here. West Coast CFB on Twitter. 10 best college football town in America, according to USA Today. So, USA Today said this. It said Madison, number one, Wisconsin. Athens, Georgia, number two. Austin, Texas, three. Baton Rouge, four. Ann Arbor, five. Tuscaloosa, six. Auburn, seven. Eight, Miami. Nine, South Bend. And 10, Boise State. Are you freaking kidding me?
Boise State is
Do we consider Miami a college town?
No one goes to the games.
I mean, Miami's a...
I'm not saying it's a bad place. There once. But is it a college town?
Pretty dope little city, but
no one goes to the games.
But yeah, that's dumb.
No one goes to the games.
Madison, Wisconsin, very cool. Athens
is pretty cool.
It's cool. I mean, it's absolutely cool, but is it remarkable over every other place in SEC?
I mean, Athens is pretty nice.
Is Tuscaloosa on there?
Yeah, I mean, it's Athens is fine, but I just
we've
I
all
don't
been
know.
To Tuscaloosa,
it's never stood
right?
out to me. I would not be like, ooh, Athens. You know, if someone asked me, hey, where's the place you gotta go in the SEC or the college town that you've been to that you gotta go to, my first reaction is not Athens, Georgia. You definitely oof.
What?
Like it was cool.
Well, I mean, it's better nice. Than Tuscaloosa in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh well, heck yeah.
Well, let's identify what makes a college town. Like, what makes a good college town? I mean, is it? Hey, this is. Just the best teams.
Energy and passion surrounding your college athletic or your university.
Yeah.
I think a well-rounded sports following, not just with said university, and regardless of the ebbs and flows throughout that university's time on the gridiron, baseball field, whatever it may be, you're still seeing similar numbers when it comes to attendance and the passion. There's always going to be people there because this is what you do in this town. It's all about the college sports. When you go to Miami, one of the last things you think about, I'm going to go to a Canes football game.
Yeah, well, like that's what – yeah, exactly what is your criteria? Because Miami
when you go to
cool.
Knoxville, Tennessee, one of the first things people are going to mention, Neyland Stadium and the University of Tennessee, Pat Summit. Those all college – esque type things, college town references.
It's kind of like probably the coolest college town I've ever been to is Provo, Utah, where BYU is. It's so, oh my gosh, it's the most beautiful college campus I've ever been on.
New.
So surrounded by the Rocky Mountains, and you're just right there next to nature. It's really beautiful. You're surrounded by Mormons who are the nicest people in the world, and that's great too.
Except when they wake you up on Saturday morning knocking at your door.
Well, yeah. But
I'm not here.
But like my criteria for there.
Come back later. I'm not here.
My criteria for there is the surroundings and not necessarily the college itself. BYU itself is a little dated. It's a little like 80s. They have some nice spots. Their football stadium's nice, but like in general it's not like the greatest,
but
like, and there's not a whole lot of like town there. Like they don't have bars because everyone's Mormon.
Well, I mean, that's
and
what
so
I'm saying.
Like, what's your criteria?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you mentioned how nice it is. Well, Fayetteville, Arkansas is nice.
Yeah,
I mean, it's beautiful.
The nicest place I've ever been in the state of Arkansas.
Yeah,
for sure.
It is Arkansas, but yeah, I mean, it's nice. It's nice looking. You know, Knoxville is nice when you. See,
why
the mountains all around, you know, Knox County. I mean, it's beautiful looking, but what's the criteria here? What is a college town? Because when I think of like high school football and they say, okay, this town is about high school football. Well, you think of like schools in Texas where when there's a game on Friday night, the whole town shuts down, right? When I think of college town at this level, I think of the city that supports the university so much, and as a team goes, a town goes. And I think about Knoxville, man, a place where you would want to live after you finish playing ball. The support that the university gets from the community. I don't know how Miami's in here. I mean,
it's not a college town.
I mean, when I think of Miami, I think about going out and hanging out with Pitbull.
I'm not trying to jab at Bammers when I say I don't know why Tuscaloosa's in there. Yeah, you win. You're dominating a lot of things right now, and that's honorable.
Tuscaloosa's not a good town. Have you been there?
What makes it a premier college town other than their current win-loss record?
Well, I'm looking at the criteria.
The energy probably in the town. You're winning and having fun. Probably.
But has it always been there through the ebbs and flows?
It has one line as what they say, number six. I'm looking at the actual USA Today article. This is all it says for Tuscaloosa. Alabama football has the most passionate fans in America. That's your criteria?
That's it?
What does that have to do with it being a good college town?
Because that's subjective too. This
is going to be, folks aren't going to like this, but this is just genuinely the coolest town I think that I've been to, and really, I mean, it's a city. It's a fairly large metropolis, actually, that I've been to that is based almost solely around a college is Austin, Texas.
Austin is cool.
Austin is great.
I'm not messing with Austin on this list. Austin is cool.
I've been there a decent amount in my life. Cousins live in Texas, and It's got culture. It's got amazing restaurants on top of the college. Obviously, the following, you know, they were winning national championships in the mid-2000s, and the following is just insane. Most profitable college athletics program in America year after year after year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's – when I look at a college town, Austin is really kind of the cornerstone in terms of ones I've been to.
I agree.
But Knoxville – has some real magic here. I don't know why it doesn't get a fair shake.
I'm taking off Tuscaloosa.
That's stupid. Tuscaloosa's not.
You know what? It's hard to take off Tuscaloosa because they're winning, and you know there's probably a lot of excitement there. But I may be taking off Auburn and Boise and Miami. The top ten
side both of them inside the last 5 and 10 years.
Yeah, I've been to both fairly recently.
I enjoyed the Auburn experience down the plains more than I did in Tuscaloosa. Was I seeing Lyle's last stand when I was in T-Town? Yes, that probably factored in. But still, things to do, I struggled finding a local, you know, pub to go in there and watch a couple of the games before walking into the stadium. I struggled with the atmosphere. It wasn't what I expected when I went to Alabama. Especially for a Tennessee game.
4 of the 10 teams here are from the SEC. I don't know how Boise's on here. I've been to Ann Arbor a couple times.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
I have not been to Ann Arbor. I'm not speaking to that one.
I've been to Austin. I've been to Athens before. Obviously, Tuscaloosa, Auburn. I've been to Miami. South Bend's just a quick little away game, so I don't know really much about South Bend. It is 45 minutes away from Chicago. I don't know if that means anything at all. I just want to mention it. But how Knoxville's not in top 10.
It's foolish.
It's very confusing here. I'm really disappointed in this poll. I think I'm going to blame Dan Wolkin. It's Dan Wolkin's fault. Dan, it's your fault, man.
The person that wrote this was Alan Siegel. I don't know who that is, but yeah, I'm going to blame it on Dan Wolkin.
Yeah, I think Dan wrote this.
Dan probably, it's Dan's pen name,
yeah.
Alan Siegel.
Yep. He wrote it. Swain Event, be right back.
Hour 3 of the Swain Event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
At some point in your life, you're going to need an attorney. You need a guy like Jared Castile with the law firm of Butler, Vines, and Babb. Jared Castile is East Tennessee born, and he understands what giving his all truly means. To Jared, every case is big and every client is important. He will aggressively push your case to make sure you are quickly paid every dollar that you deserve. Give Jared Castile a call, 865-244-3933, and talk with him directly. His office is located at 2701 Kingston Pike. So if you've been injured in a car wreck, let Jerrica Steele and Butler Vines and Babb fight for you.
Hey, Annie, you're the spokesperson for Toyota Knoxville, right?
That's right.
Why should I buy from Toyota Knoxville?
Are you looking for new or used vehicles?
Does it matter?
No, because Toyota Knoxville has over 390 new Toyotas on the ground and over 350 pre-owned vehicles available to choose from.
Okay, so big selection.
And a lifetime warranty at no charge on all new and select pre-owned vehicles.
A lifetime warranty.
A non-factory limited lifetime powertrain warranty with unlimited miles. Plus 30 years of experience in Knoxville, not just serving our customers, serving our community.
And the buying experience?
Hello, it's Toyota Knoxville. Read the reviews. Talk to anybody that's been there.
Okay. Where am I going?
Toyota Knoxville is at I-40 and the Lover Road exit. Go to Parkside Drive. You can't miss it.
Can I tell them Annie sent me?
I wish you would. If you're passionate about the car you drive, come meet the people that are passionate about the way they sell at Toyota Knoxville. ToyotaKnoxville.com.
Warranty good at participating dealers.
If you've been thinking about getting a new mattress, don't wait. Shop any Better Mattress location right now. They are doing major spring cleaning. Over half the floor is half off. Get that guest bed you've been thinking about for a great price at Better Mattress. They're making way for new inventory and have incredible deals that won't last. The Swain Event listeners get the first chance. The sooner you go in, the more choices you'll have. These are going to go fast. With just 2 weeks before new models hit the floor, Better Mattress needs to make room, and you are hearing about it first. Shop the spring cleaning liquid liquidation sale at Better Mattress right now. Half the floor is half off. Good night. Just got better. BEDRmattress.com.
Jason Swain here. June is Men's Health Month. Gentlemen, question. Do you know your numbers? You may know your blood pressure and cholesterol, but do you know your testosterone and prostate numbers? I know mine. I went to Low T Center. They made it quick and easy, and you'll know your results in about 20 minutes. And this month, Low T Center is even offering a special $50 testosterone and prostate level test. Gentlemen, don't wait anymore. Call Low T Center today at 865-392-1388 or go to lowtcenter.com.
For a replay of each day's Swain Event TV, like us on Facebook.
Let's get to Kevin from Houston. He's on the B-Drive Waterproofing Hotline. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant. Hour 3, powered by Low T Center and lowtcenter.com. Men's Health Awareness Month, where you can get a prostate level test and a testosterone test at your Low T Center this month for $50. So, Kevin, what is on your mind, sir?
Yeah, I was just wondering if that list about the top 10 college towns was that like a junior high school project or something? Who made up that list?
I don't know who made that list, man. Now the list was created in November 17, 2017 is the date on the article, but I mean it's right after kind of the regular season or towards the end of the regular season in college football, and so this list should change, I think, year in and year out, but. To have Knoxville not included in your top 10, I don't understand that at all.
I wonder if Butch Jones is a ghostwriter for Sports Illustrated or something. That was just ridiculous.
Boise over a place like Knoxville, I don't understand that.
At Lawrence, Kansas. I mean, really? You know, I mean, anything. Boise.
I mean, they're a small-knit community. They love their football. I understand that. They may shut down the town. But you look at Knoxville and the Tennessee Volunteers, they dominate the state. We got a few pro teams here. And the Predators have kind of taken a lot of energy in this state from sports fans because of their recent success. But still, the quarterback at Tennessee is probably more popular than anybody else in the state. That's the way it's been. And that should tell you right there how much passion is in this state. And in Knoxville, I mean, it's right down the street from, University of Tennessee is right in Knoxville. So how can you not have Knoxville in the top 10? I just don't understand that.
Yeah, I moved up to Chattanooga back home the same year that then Oilers moved to Nashville, and everybody here was talking about how, they're gonna own that. Boy, they'll be the biggest thing in Tennessee when they move up there. And I've been telling everybody, just kind of shaking my head, no, they won't. No, not even close. The king resides in Knoxville. Trust me. But hey, how do you guys feel about the quarterback situation going into next season?
I mean, I feel between Guarantano and Chris, we should be able to find a guy that can be productive for us on offense. I don't know if they're dynamic. I don't know. I do know that Jared throws a great deep ball, and that's something we've been really, really good at during the spring. But I feel like between the two quarterbacks, that position shouldn't get us beat.
Right. And do you feel that our defensive backs are getting better by the day or I mean, I think it just seems like we're making remarkable strides in the way of defensive backs and especially offensive line.
The corners concern me. The safeties, not so much, but the corners definitely concern me. So it's always hard to talk about the defensive back as a whole because the safeties with Najee Warrior leading, kind of leading the pack, and the breakout year that he had. Yeah, I'm confident in him and his abilities, but I don't know who's going to be the corner at
all. But you're also confident in those coaching the secondary positions.
I am confident in them coaching, but there's only so much coaching can do. Mm-hmm. You know, either have it sometimes or you don't. The ball's in the air. Yes, you can tell the guy to turn around and press the receiver to the sideline, but at the end of the day, it's about two athletes making a play on the ball. Who's going to be the best one? And I don't know if we have the guys that, when the ball's in the air and it's a 50-50 ball, how many times are we going to make the play? I don't know that. But I do know they'll be coached up. The coaching can only go so far, though.
Well, they got to do – I mean, when you take into consideration, you know, Jeremy Pruitt and staff versus last year with Lion Lyle and his jokers, I think it's going to be a difference maker. But I think they're going to – they've got to be able to develop better. I mean, they've got to. Just on reputation alone tells me that. But I'm excited about the basketball season, and I'm going all in. I'm talking Final Four.
Ooh.
Hey, why not?
Here you go, Spencer.
That should be the expectation.
Absolutely. That team's good enough.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, DJ Burns, I mean, we're getting some great additions, and it's just – I think it's going to really solidify the backcourt and, you know, our ability to rebound. I mean, even more than it was. But, I'm all in. I can't wait for basketball season.
Yeah.
Really can't.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Kevin. I really do. Pruitt said on the show that he knows that better players make him look like a better coach. I mean, that's what he said himself. So
it's what it is.
Keeps it simple, doesn't he?
Yeah, coaching can only go so far. You gotta have that. You gotta have talent too. So, What happens when we play a receiver that's 6'3", can run like the wind, and has great, you know, a great catch radius, and is just a dog on the outside? But we have a receiver. I mean, we have a corner that's guarding him. That, hey, he's coached up. He knows all the tricks from T. Fair and Pruitt and Charles Kelly. But he's just not fast enough. He just can't jump high enough. He's just not good enough. That might happen this football season. You hope that it doesn't. You hope that when you are put in those situations that you can tip that pass from the quarterback. You can sack that quarterback. You can do something during the play that affects the play to where the ball's not caught by that wide receiver, but there's only so much you can do. There's only so much coaching you can do.
I think you saw the perfect example of that in Josh Dobbs. He made Butch look competent. It's incredible what talent can do to cover up the woes of the coaches. Yeah. So,
Kamara, Josh Malone catching that slant route against Florida and racing 50 yards to the end zone. When's the last time you've seen a wide receiver outrun a Florida defense 50 yards? I mean, it's been a long time.
It's been a while.
Yeah. So, it's about the player first. Now, of course, you need them to be coached up. That gives you a better chance. What gives you the best chance to win is to recruit the best players, coach them up the best, and inspire them the best, and have a little bit of luck. Those are teams that have a chance to win a championship. Those are your Clemsons. Those are your Florida States, your Ohio States, Alabama's over the last couple of years. That's the recipe. That gives you the best chance to win. It doesn't guarantee you anything. It just gives you the best chance. Best chance to win. Hey, if you want to make a good grade on the test, you give yourself a best chance by studying. Just
so I've heard.
It's just the best chance. Doesn't guarantee you you're going to make a good grade. It just gives you the best chance. Summer conditioning. 7-on-7. Extremely grueling workouts. Pushing yourself past the limits. Teamwork. Building this camaraderie in your locker room. That doesn't guarantee you any success, but it just gives you a really good chance of being successful. And that's all you can do, is give yourself the best chance. And over the last couple of years, we have not given ourselves a best chance to be successful by not doing 7-on-7, by not having the best strength coach we could possibly have or that money could buy. other programs are already ahead of you. Even before anyone scores a point, they're already ahead of you. And so you got to work from behind. See, as fans, we look at the scoreboard, and we don't think that we're working from behind if the score is 0-0. If they score 7 and we are 0, okay, now we're working from behind. But truly, in the last few years, we've been working behind before we even got on the field with some of our opponents because of how we have conducted ourselves and how we have done things, again, with the 707, with the change in strength coach, with the culture inside of our football program in the locker room. And so now what Tyson Helton is doing, what Kevin Sherrill was doing, speaking to our team, going over the winning edge points, things that matter inside of a locker room, the team, the things that separate good teams from great teams, the fine details, making sure that we have the best strength equipment that money can buy, getting our guys bigger and stronger. That just gives you a chance. That's all it guarantees you, a chance, an opportunity to win. Doesn't mean you're going to do it. Thanks for the phone call, Kevin. Really appreciate the phone call. But, yes, Final Four, I'm Final Four or bust. I'm comfortable with saying that for this team.
Final Four or bust.
Has to be the expectation. The reigning SEC player of the year, perhaps in
I know what all we have, but you know how much parity, what you love,
sure,
takes place in the tournament. You know how important the draw is, who's in your region.
Mm-hmm.
I think the expectation is winning the SEC. And then you let that carry over into the tournament.
I think
that should be the expectation for this team.
If you win a league.
To make a Final Four, there's a lot of things that need to happen, fellas.
Yeah, but it's okay to have that goal and expectation to go to a Final Four and to say if we don't do it, it's a failure.
I don't consider the basketball season a failure if they don't make the Final Four this year.
Why back away from that huge goal?
Because I don't think they're there yet.
I think they are.
To expect a Final Four in June,
you got arguably the best.
You have to have something more established than I think what Rick Barnes has right now. I'm not saying it's out of the realm of possibilities. I'm not saying he's not trending in the right direction. But to say that is the expectation coming into the season before we even know what the final roster is going to look like, I think that's a little out there. I think saying winning the SEC, knowing they're both attainable, winning the SEC is more of an expectation.
I just think if you're a team who, before even adding some nice pieces that Tennessee's going to add in this offseason, if you're a team that before doing that was won a league, you won the SEC.
In the regular season.
Made it to the SEC championship game in the SEC tournament, were a top 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. If you meet all those criteria, you're expected to make a Final Four. I mean, you're a Final Four level team.
You're a Final Four level team.
That's
not expected.
Sure. I mean, it's more semantics than anything.
Being a top 3 seed in one of the 4 regions means you're a top 12 team. You have the expectation. You have the possibilities. But the expectation, I don't know. I get caught on that word.
But it's kind of like the Predators this year. You win the league. You won the NHL.
I can't make a hockey comparison with you, buddy.
President's Trophy. During the regular season, the Predators were the best team in the league. You come in, and yeah, they lost to an incredible team in Winnipeg, and it was in the second round, and it went to 7 games, and it was extremely competitive, blah, blah, blah. You didn't win the Stanley Cup. The season's a failure. Like, that just is what it is. And as much as that sucks, like, yeah, you won the President's Trophy, and that was fun. The goal is the Stanley Cup. The goal is not the second round. The goal is not the Sweet 16. The goal is not the Elite
Eight. So you're saying Tennessee is in the same conversation to be one of the best teams, if not the best team, clear-cut throughout college basketball? You're saying that right now on June 12th?
Absolutely.
They should be. I got more takes. We got to take a break. We have to go to the phones. We'll take a quick break and come back. I have more to add to the conversation. I love where Brad's coming from, but I have some more takes. I'll explain why for me it is Final Four or bust, and I'm okay. I'm very comfortable and confident saying that. I'm okay with that. I'll tell you why a little bit more after the break. Swain Event.
Hour 3 of the Swain Event is brought to you by the Low T Center and lowtcenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
At some point in your life, you're going to need an attorney. You need a guy like Jerrica Steele with the law firm of Butler, Vines, and Babb. Jerrica Steele is East Tennessee born, and he understands what giving his all truly means. To Jarrett, every case is big and every client is important. He will aggressively push your case to make sure you are quickly paid every dollar that you deserve. Give Jarrett Castillo a call, 865-244-3933, and talk with him directly. His office is located at 2701 Kingston Pike. So if you've been injured in a car wreck, let Jarrett Castillo and Butler, Vines, and Babb fight for you.
Hey, Annie, you're the spokesperson for Toyota Knoxville, right?
That's right.
Why should I buy from Toyota Knoxville?
Are you looking for new or used vehicles?
Does it matter?
No, because Toyota Knoxville has over 390 new Toyotas on the ground and over 350 pre-owned vehicles available to choose from.
Okay, so big selection.
And a lifetime warranty at no charge on all new and select pre-owned vehicles.
A lifetime warranty.
A non-factory limited lifetime powertrain warranty with unlimited miles. Plus 30 years of experience in Knoxville, not just serving our customers, serving our community.
And the buying experience?
Hello, it's Toyota Knoxville. Read the reviews. Talk to anybody that's been there.
Okay, okay. Where am I going?
Toyota Knoxville is at I-40 and the Lover Road exit. Go to Parkside Drive. You can't miss it.
Can I tell them Annie sent me?
I wish you would. If you're passionate about the car you drive, come meet the people that are passionate about the way they sell at Toyota Knoxville. ToyotaKnoxville.com.
Warranty good at participating dealers.
If you've been thinking about getting a new mattress, don't wait. Shop any Better Mattress location right now. They are doing major spring cleaning. Over half the floor is half off. Get that guest bed you've been thinking about for a great price at Better Mattress. They're making way for new inventory and have incredible deals that won't last. The Swain Event listeners get the first chance. The sooner you go in, the more choices you'll have. These are going to go fast. With just 2 weeks before new models hit the floor, Better Mattress needs to make room, and you are hearing about it first. Shop the spring cleaning liquidation sale at Better Mattress right now. Half the floor is half off. Good night. Just got better. BEDRmattress.com.
Jason Swain here. June is Men's Health Month. Gentlemen, question. Do you know your numbers? You may know your blood pressure and cholesterol, but do you know your testosterone and prostate numbers? I know mine. I went to Low T Center. They made it quick and easy, and you'll know your results in about 20 minutes. And this month, Low T Center is even offering a special $50 testosterone and prostate level test. Gentlemen, don't wait anymore. Call Low T Center today at 865-392-1388 or go to lowtcenter.com.
For a replay of each day's Swain Event TV, like us on Facebook.
Let's go to the B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline, and this is a new name calling in. This is, quote, Farmer's Boy. On line one. Good morning, Farmer's Boy. Good morning.
What up there, my brother?
What's going on?
Well, you know, I'm sitting here listening to all this Final Four talk, and I thought, well, good. I mean, I love Rick Barnes. Hats off to him. God bless the University of Tennessee basketball team. But let's talk about the Final Four in SEC East. That's where the real money's at. That's where the meat's at. That's where the barbecue's going down.
Let's talk about it.
All
what
right,
you got?
Go ahead.
What
yep.
you got, Farmer's Boy? Let's talk about it like heck.
I'll tell you right now. Here's my prediction. I think with just the enthusiasm, we're going to squeeze into that top three. My enthusiasm, but the coaching staff enthusiasm, the discipline that's been instilled in this team, it's going to move us to a final. It's going to move us into the top three in the SEC East. And we're going to have some chances to win a game or two that we shouldn't win above us, aka Florida, Georgia.
I agree.
Sure.
I don't know about Georgia, but I agree. We will have opportunities to win games that will put Tennessee in the top three in the SEC East. I agree. It's going to come down to a few plays like most of the games do in the SEC. I think Tennessee will be in position with some of those teams. And let's see if we can make those plays. I'm not going to sit here and say that Tennessee's going to get the doors blown off of them every single game
you know, with the SEC schedule, there are going to be some games where it's going to get ugly because they just will be totally outmatched. But I don't see all the games in SEC turning out that way.
I tell you what, man, this process is starting. I saw this stuff in the mid-'80s. I'm an old school guy. I saw it with majors when back in the day when you could bring in 100 scholarships. I mean, literally, they brought in like 100 and then weeded it down. And that's how we got Chuck Webb, Carl Pickens. Of course, they, you know, they moved it to a science now. They don't have to get 100 to get that one or two. Dude, we're getting some nasty line. I mean, everybody's looking at us back like they used to, from North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. Mm-hmm. And these are nasty linemen. These are long arm, big bone, big muscle structure, fast twitch, you name it. It ain't going to be long. It ain't going to be long before the chips fall in place. We're going to be competing for championships.
I don't disagree with you at all, former's boy. And thanks for the phone call so much. I don't disagree. Tennessee is doing a good job in Georgia. The Carolinas is hot right now, according to Ron Callahan. So Tennessee is doing a really good job there. Memphis is an area that Pruitt and company will focus on. I don't think this is an overnight deal, but I think that the former Pruitt combination, and you know this because you're former's boy, they're going to recruit. They're going to recruit. That's not a question. They're going to get good players.
I'm going to watch the film?
But I don't even react when we get
work
recruits.
Like heck to get better.
I don't react because I know we're going to get good players. I know we're going to do that. I just want to know, are we going to get a quarterback? Are we going to get a quarterback? And can we stay healthy? Those are the questions that I have about competing at a high level. We're going to get good players. This is Tennessee. We have the resources. We have the support. We're going to get good players. We have a very attractive product. The brand, although it's tarnished, it is very attractive if you know how to use it. We're going to get good players. But back to basketball. What is wrong? What is wrong with setting the bar so high, especially if you know you have the ability to achieve the goal? What is wrong with setting the bar so high that if you don't reach it, you can just say, I didn't get it done? I remember when Tennessee lost to Loyola Chicago, and everyone was talking about, man, what a good season. What a good run. You guys did a good job. Man, you achieved something that no one thought you could achieve. SEC co-champions.
Don't do it.
And Lamonte Turner was like, psh.
No.
So? And we lost. We failed. And I love that from Lamonte Turner. Because when you go from an okay program to an average program to one of the elite, it could be in any sport, any level. When you expect to play for something of significance and you don't do it, I'm okay with you calling a failure. 2014, Steve Spurrier was like, these guys over here in Knoxville, they're doing bat flips and cartwheels for winning 7 games. Alabama football, when they lost in the Sugar Bowl to Utah, it's because they didn't even want to be there because they did not play for a national championship. That is the type of expectation that I want with our program. And basketball won't be like that year in and year
out. It's okay to want that.
But it's okay to say Final Four bust. It's okay to say that. We don't have to say fire Rick Barnes and man, the season was trash. But we can say, man, Final Four bust with this talent. These guys are all coming back. SEC Player of the Year. Admiral Schofield had his name in the NFL NBA draft. All your guards are back. Lamonte Turner is going to be even better.
I mean, yeah, you got
all these one and dones.
We are all appreciative, and we all know that Tennessee basketball overachieved last year. They shouldn't have been picked 13th out of 14 teams in the SEC, but they shouldn't have been picked top half. Should they have? knowing what we knew coming into last season? No, they shouldn't have.
I said they were going to be middling. I said better than the year before.
They overachieved last year. We're now seeing what the job of Rick Barnes, this coaching staff, is doing behind the scenes, building a program full of a roster with 3-, 4-, and 5-year guys, starting to sprinkle in some more talent, some 4-star guys. We mentioned DJ Burns. But to say that the expectation is Final Four or bust. The season is a failure if you don't make it.
No, there. I'm not. I didn't say that.
That's what you said in the first segment leading into it.
No, I'm saying if you are in that program, if you are over there in that program, you're Tennessee, you should have that mentality. We as fans, if you lose,
I'm good with that mentality as a player.
Yeah, but if you're Tennessee and let's say you run up against Duke in the Elite Eight. And Duke is shooting 70% from the field, and they're hot. Come on, no one's gonna be like, "Oh, that season was a failure." But if you play poorly in Elite Eight, and you lose that game,
well, that's a different conversation.
Yeah,
in my
but opinion. I mean, looking at where we are right now, looking at this basketball team, why not say?
From a player's perspective, from a player's perspective, it's okay to have that viewpoint. Yeah. I'm in agreement with that.
Here's my exact.
I'm saying from a fan's perspective, right now, Final Four bust. If we don't make the Final Four, it's a failure.
Yeah,
I don't think that's fair.
Because here's why I say that.
If you start as a top three team,
that is one preseason poll.
The other one said top five.
Listen.
preseason
poll. I'm here
poll.
Also. Listen.
And you can wait a minute,
no,
buddy.
No, listen.
You
listen.
Can.
Here is why. I say, and because I think it's going to – y'all will have stuff to add to this with the conversation that you're having. If your expectation – you're saying – Brad, I think your expectation would be to win the SEC again. Is that an expectation you would have?
I think that's a goal from a fan's perspective, because I thought that's what we were discussing here before the break.
But
from a fan's perspective, I'm not walking to the
– But your expectation.
My expectation is to compete for the SEC championship.
Compete?
And win it,
they
yeah.
They did that last year.
You gotta win it.
But that wasn't the expectation going into last year, Swain.
But you just said – we're talking about right now.
This coming
exactly.
season.
Exactly.
Right, I know. And you're saying to compete.
To compete and win
competed.
An SEC championship.
You
that
achieved
wasn't my
that
expectation
goal.
Last year. That wasn't
this
the expectation.
Year. What's this year? What's your expectation this year?
To compete and win the SEC championship.
Okay.
To win.
So
to win.
Regular
so,
season and the tournament.
So if your expectation is to if your expectation is to win the SEC, that means almost without a doubt that you are again a top three seed in the NCAA tournament, which means that you are a Final Four level team, which means you should make the Final Four. That
you're
like,
a Final Four level
that is
team.
Your expectation.
There's a difference between that and knowing that it's attainable and coming into the season on June 12th saying Final Four bust. If we don't make the Final Four, it's a failure. There's a difference in my head to that. If you can't see it, that's okay. You can try to find it later. There is a big difference in those two perspectives in my head.
Today, I'm going to say Final Four bust. Now, if we get to the Elite Eight, and again, if we play Duke in the Elite Eight, and they are just on fire, okay?
What I mentioned about the draw, the region,
I understand
the
that.
Seeding.
If we play Duke, they're on fire. We play our best game. They play their best game. They win. I'm not going to try to burn things down. But if you lose to a team that you're better than,
Loyola Chicago,
and you don't play, Loyola's probably a better
good.
Team. They're a better
they
team.
Final Four.
And gave Tennessee gave them a better game than any other team did.
Well,
leading up to that point,
they were a better team and they played better, and so they should have won. But if we play a team that, without a doubt, we know we're better than. Kind of like some of the Konzo's, that Konzo team that was losing in the regular season. Looked like they were playing uninspired basketball, and they flipped the switch in the tournament. If we lose to a team that's inferior to us, Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and we fail to get to the Final Four, it's a failure.
Okay, but with all those caveats, we can agree with that.
Yeah,
what did I say before the last
but going
break,
into
depending
the
on the season?
But going into the season, you should, I think the mentality, I think as a fan and as a player is, hey, man, Final Four bust. Let's
just
go.
When you look at the rosters,
love it from a player's perspective.
Why,
when you look
not?
I don't think that's fair
rosters,
as a fan.
When you look at the rosters across college basketball, Tennessee has one of the best in the nation. I mean, according to Gary Parrish, the number three best team in America. I mean, that's,
the amount of true freshmen that impact college basketball is a greater percentage than any other college sport, and we have yet to see those kids play at college. So I'm going to wait on that. I can't judge college basketball teams based on their roster right now.
That's fair.
But I look at that and I say Tennessee will be, and I think you will see this when SEC Media Day comes in October or whenever. Tennessee will be expected to be the top team in the SEC. They will be chosen to win the league. And at that point... Yeah, I mean, I think they will. I think they will be the...
I'm not there yet.
It'll be between them and Kentucky. Because
preseason coaches or preseason media poll?
Auburn,
I doubt they...
Auburn loses
Kentucky.
Mustafa Heron and
Auburn's not even in the conversation to me.
Let me make one last point before we go to break. And the reason why I'm like this is because in 2016... we were afraid. It took folks to pressure Butch Jones to accept responsibility for the team that he had and accept the high expectation. You had a team full of NFL-ready players, juniors and seniors. The East was down. Butch was very, very hesitant to accept, hey, man, you are – in position. You should win the SEC East.
A preseason top 10
You
team.
Should be competing for a championship.
Yeah.
And Butch was so afraid of it. And when we failed that football season to beat South Carolina, beat Vanderbilt, and we wound up only winning, what, 8-9 games? What was the spin? The spin was, oh, it wasn't a failure. Hey, you still went to a bowl game. You still won 9 games.
One of the only teams in the SEC to win 9 or more games in the last 3 years.
Yeah, when's the last time Tennessee won 3-9 games, you know, seasons in a row? And that is what I am so sick of. I don't want that mentality here anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want it.
Needs to be high.
Yeah, I don't want it. I'm okay with saying, you know what? I look at my career. And I had expectations. I'm okay with saying, you know what? I didn't beat my goal. I didn't win a championship, at the national championship, SEC championship. I wasn't a first-round pick. I wasn't an all-first-team player, player of the year. I had some high expectations for myself considering the type of player I was coming in and my ranking. I'm okay with saying, no, I failed my goals. But in failing... man, I'm top 10 receiver of all time in receptions. I was a captain. I played in this game. I won this game. You can still point out some highlights, but I'm sorry. I'm not going to try to sell failing at your goal. I'm not doing that. This team is built to win it all. They're built. And I don't look at the name on the front of the jerseys. I look at the players. I look at this team, they're built to go. So we got to go to break. We will – this might be a day we might have to run over 10 o'clock because this is a very, 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 really good conversation. We'll take a break, come back, get to the phones, and wrap up today's show. Swain Event.
Hour 3 of the Swain Event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
Up goes your car insurance.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way, even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Encipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's. Or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. You pull over, step out of your car, and the next thing you know, you're being arrested for driving under the influence. Now what do you do? We all should be responsible. But remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza at 865-540-8300. The investigative teams at the Garza Law Firm know the justice system inside and out. They utilize cutting-edge technologies and investigative methods to prepare your specific case. Before you plead guilty to any criminal charges, call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza. Put his number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty. Say Garza. 865-540-8300. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
At work? Can't call in? Don't feel bad. You can talk to the guys on the text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.
Let's go to the phones, the B-Drive Waterproofing Hotline. Love the conversation. And who we got there, Brad?
Chip,
good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thought I'd save the best for last, right?
That's right, Chip.
Yes, sir. Hey, real quick, I think it was Hub City that said earlier, speaking about being excited and everything, and he was talking about the staff, and I think that's who it was, but brought up a good point that there's a lot of staff members that are very much so able to step up if someone takes off. And I think that the reason why I'm one of the main reasons why I'm so excited is the talent's going to come to Tennessee just because of Tennessee, right? I mean,
yeah, they're coming.
We have the facilities, it's the tradition. I mean, there's nothing better. Watching that tee open up and those players run through it, it's impressive. I mean, it's Tennessee, nobody else does it like we do. So I guess that's the main reason why I'm so excited is that we have a staff put together that can actually develop these kids that come in. And, you know, I think they're on the right track for that. My question to you, Swain and gentlemen, is when's the last time you saw a comparable staff? I mean, are we talking like, you know, back in the former era? Because honestly, you know, you got the only three coaches that have been there since Fulmer. And in my opinion, I mean, I haven't seen very many coaches, you know, step up, you know, and go to different places and be really, really successful, with the exception, I guess, of maybe Lane Kiffin. He's been, I guess, pretty good with Alabama. But, you know, anyway, I'll just hang up, love your show, and I'll listen.
That's a really good question.
It's got to be Fulmer with Cutcliffe and Sanders, right? I mean, that's where I would go immediately.
Cutcliffe and Chavis.
Not Sanders.
Yeah, I would compare that 2006 staff that included Kurt Roper, who wound up being the offense coordinator, Matt Luke, who's now the head coach at Ole Miss, Trooper Taylor. You look at John Chavis. You did have Larry Slay there. You look at Dan Brooks, who went on to be probably Clemson's one of Clemson's most valuable coaches of recruiting and putting together that defensive line that's built for success. And that's when Clemson really started to threaten Alabama, is when they were able to compete there in the defensive line. You know, Steve Caldwell is now back in the SEC at Arkansas. I would compare that staff as being like the last staff that we can compare to this staff. And I know this staff is 0-0, but I'm looking at kind of what they've done so far in the conference. I can't really compare it to Kiffin's staff because you had a lot of guys that never really coached in the SEC. And Monty came from the NFL, and Monty got torched. I mean, he got torched in 09. He was not ready for the college game at all. You know, you had, Dan, was it Reeves? I think it was it Kiffin's brother-in-law? So you had a lot of guys that were good coaches but didn't have a lot of SEC ties. And then Dooley's staff, I mean, goodness, you had Wilcox, you had Charlie Baggett, who's a legend receiver coach. But, again, didn't have a lot of SEC ties. So I would have to probably compare to Coach Fulmer's year there in 06, that staff.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But I get
it's hard to compare anything to that staff, in my opinion.
Well,
yeah.
You got to look. I mean, the only reason I've said that is because I look at the SEC experience there, and it is hard. You're right, Brad. It's hard to compare, but the SEC experience is why I skip over Butch, Dooley, and Kiffin and go to the
100%
to Fulmer's last year having Dan Reeves. That's right. Thank you for that. That's why I go to 06, because you had John Chavis, you had freaking David Cutler. And you can go 07 too if you want to go 07. 06, 07, that staff is probably a staff that I would compare. But man, the basketball debate about, you know, what's the fair expectation? I didn't try to separate the fans' expectation from the players' expectation. I used Lamonte Turner because if you know your player felt that way from last year's season after doing more than what people thought they would do, you know how the players feel, and maybe the fans should feel the same type of way. So we got to run. Swain and Vince, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, 850 AM, 100.9 FM, Rocky Top Sports. Have a great day.